Pacific Beer Chat records on the traditional unceded territory of the Coast Salish First Nations, including the Tsleil-Waututh, the Keetse, the Kwantlen, the Kwikwetlem, the Matsqui, the Musqueam, the Kakite, the Semiahu, the Squamish, the Tsawwassen, the Tsleil-Waututh, and the Stalo First Nations.
Welcome to Pacific Beer Chat. I'm Mike.
I'm Warren.
I'm Cam.
I'm Jordan still.
Yes, you are. And this is a bit of a grab bag episode, so we're going to go to Cam first.
Hey.
What'd you bring?
Hey.
Well, I've got a beer that I bought on the island last year when I was working there a bunch.
Last year?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
He's had it in the microwave the whole time.
Yeah. Just cooking away. So I did a bunch of work in Port Alberni at one point.
Yes.
As you may remember from our Dog Mountain episode.
Yeah. Yep. Yes.
So this is from Port Alberni as well, but it's from Twin City.
Oh, beautiful brewery. I love Twin City. They make some really good beer.
Yeah. So we've got their Blunderbuss, which was one of their anniversary beers from last year, I believe.
Oh, celebration time.
It is a lambic style sour. That was barrel aged.
Barrel aged lambic.
Yes. You know what kind of barrels?
Barrel types.
Yes.
Wooden barrels?
I believe it's red wine.
Okay. Ooh.
That makes more sense for lambics and stuff. Yeah.
Okay. I like it.
Yeah. I'm sure it says here, but I'm getting old and my sight is going. So.
That's okay. Just crack that bitch.
Yeah, I'll let you read the flavor text on this.
Flavor Town.
Yeah, I like Twin
City. It's hopping hot, man. She's lively. Nice.
I've been to Twin City a couple times. The first time I went there, I had an amazing sour cola beer.
Oh, weird.
That was a delicious. One of the best sour beers I've ever had. It was really good. Yeah, I'm a fan. They also got a really nice food program there. They make some
the
decent
food there is fantastic.
Yeah, I love that. If you're
great food, great beer.
Yeah, if you're popping through there on your way to Tofino or whatever,
It's a perfect lunch stop.
It is. It's right on the not just off the main road. It's not too far, a couple blocks, but it's definitely worth the stop.
Now, usually, a beer at this low of an alcohol content, what is it? 5.8. Usually you wouldn't want to hold on to them, but because it's a sour lambic style, it's probably going to hang up
pretty
damn good. Yeah,
when the pH is this low, it's pretty tough for anything to survive in there that could cause damage.
Yeah, exactly.
This has been kicking around the back of my fridge.
It smells like a Flanders or something.
It does have a nose like that.
Yeah.
When I smelt it, I kind of was like, oh, wow.
It's not super... like vinegary at all, which some do. It's got a bit of a sweetness to the nose, but it's definitely got that.
You get the sour in there, and it's kind of an earthy sort of thing.
But taste it.
Oh yeah,
I haven't got there yet.
Oh God, I jumped the gun and
never.
It's I smelt it, I tasted it, and I really like it. This is more of a sourness than a tartness, but I really like it. There's a lot
going
on.
Many directions at once.
Yeah, it's a little bit of cherry, a little bit of sweetness, definitely some tart in there, but also a little bit of sour.
I like just the way it tangs at the end. I found it more sour than tart to me, but the cherry definitely is in there.
Finish is nice and sour, but
there's a little funk in there.
Complex
and a little bit of barrel that's hitting the back of my throat, like not right away, but
a little fruity.
As I'm sipping it, maybe a little bit of red wine.
Can I just read this to you guys since my eyes work?
All right.
My mouth doesn't always. Sometimes I mispronounce things, but let's give her a go. So it says, not one of her regular sours. This rare release is a blend of funky lambic-style beer aged for 30 months in Merlot barrels.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
So complex dark fruit, vinous oak with a accent punch that will hit you point blank. Cheers to 3 years of Twin City Brewing.
Wow.
So this is now probably getting close to 4 year anniversary.
Yeah, this would have been over a year ago that I picked this can up.
That's awesome, man.
So it's already aged 30 months before it was in the can.
Yeah, in the microwave too.
Yeah. That would cause a good fire.
Or, you know, the back of my beer fridge.
Yeah. Well, the same thing. Wow. They both have doors and white.
Damn.
Shit, I wish I poured more in my glass. This is really tasty.
Right?
Yeah. Well, there's more beer to be had, so don't worry.
Have you seen the size of my can?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, kind of small.
The beer is big, though.
Oh, yeah. Sorts of different notes to it.
Yeah, there's this is very complex. I mean, if you're into sour beers, then this is something that you would enjoy.
Well, I don't even know that this beer still exists, to be honest.
Yeah. Probably doesn't, but you're probably going to, if you can find one, you're getting a little something different in every sip almost.
Yeah, yeah. It changes. It's crazy. Constantly. Yeah.
And just like, if you can find a can of this in the back of your cellar, drink it now because it is good.
Yes. It's on point.
And please make this again.
Yeah, well, yeah. Well, I wonder what they're doing for their fourth.
I was just going to say we're going to have to hit the
fourth
internet.
Would have happened already.
Yeah, maybe for their fifth. What are they doing for their fifth?
Well, when was it canned? Doesn't say.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a date code on there, but I know I picked it up last fall. So
okay, so like you're right at a year, so they probably just had their fourth, and we should call them.
Did you lose any other cans of some really tasty beers?
I've got some stuff in my cellar kicking around for episode 200. So.
Carnell, get your fucking cellar ready.
Yeah, we got to come up with something exciting for the 200th episode.
Oh, Carnell's baby and my baby are going to have a sample tasting. So they're going to have their first beers here live on the podcast.
Yeah, and then they're going into the Thunderdome. Two babies enter, one baby leaves.
Can we throw some toddlers in there too? I know it's unfair, but...
As exciting as that
I'll bring
sounds.
My kids.
Exactly.
Then my 10-year-old gets a knife.
Wow.
Protect the little one, Kira. Well, no, anyways, back to the beer.
Yeah, beer.
I think where we're sitting at the moment is the 200th episode might be some kind of super fan listener party with giant bottles kind of thing, right?
Possibly.
It's going to be getting shitty with friends.
So if you're a super fan and you're listening, Tariq, Kevin, drop us a line and we'll add you to the list.
We got magnums. Mm.
Yeah.
Just saying.
By we, I mean Mike.
And by magnums, we mean the beer bottles. Don't get it twisted.
I was just going to go there, too.
It was an easy joke. Oh, this beer was very nice, but I think we'll segue into the next one after that.
Hold it together, Jordan.
I can't.
What did you bring to us in that giant crowler?
What did Gary bring us?
I was just going to say that. So
Gary rules.
Yeah, my buddy Gary came down. He was working in town in Pitt Meadows, and he brought me some treats. So we're going to be trying Barn Owl's Iced Maibach.
Oh, I thought he was going to be the Cherry Creek, but okay.
No. We can't drink that. I don't want you throwing it around my house. But anyway,
allegedly.
Okay. Seen the video.
So what can you tell us about this beer? Do we know the percentage?
It is 8%. It was packaged on October 28th, so I've been waiting to open it with you guys.
So it's fresh, delicious, and high ABV.
Yeah. And this is something you can't get in cans. So this is literally something Gary packaged in a crowler for me that you can't even buy in cans up there. You can only get like growler fills and
stuff. So unless you live in the area and you can go in to get pints or growlers, you're SOL.
So this is it, I guess. Fuck. Fuck it. It's happening.
Oh, wow. He's going rinseless. Gary. Well, Gary.
There's lots of beer I can try it two ways. No, but this one he actually said was really good. I can't remember if this was
head on that sucker.
A collaboration. It might have been a collab with Kelowna Brewing Company.
Oh, yeah?
Which is they're a good brewery. I checked them out last time I was there.
Yeah, really? I'm pretty sure they did this there, and they only had it on keg, so that's one of the reasons I got this big old crowler. But yeah, thank you, Gary. Appreciate you.
Yeah, nice bright amber color. Looks like a beer. Nice thick rocky head.
Big rocky head, yeah.
Ooh.
Mmm. It's got that lagery nose.
It sure does. It's great got that, aroma. That real mix between the graininess and the hoppiness and everything. Real balanced. Beer-flavored beer, right?
Beer-flavored beer. Iced at 8%.
Jam.
Natty ice, right?
Yeah, like natty ice. You could tell you were in America.
Oh.
Dude.
That is delicious.
Isn't it?
That is like a really nice, flavorful, darker, European style lager pilsner kind of beer.
It's got a nice grainy bite to it. It's,
oh yeah,
it's clean, clear,
delish.
I'm sorry, this is 8%.
You cannot. 8%. This tastes like a 5% beer.
Yeah, welcome to my hood.
This is dangerous.
Yeah, it sure is.
Oh my god, that is absolutely delicious.
This is fantastic. Thanks, Gary, for the small can.
Yeah. 1 liter can. Yeah.
Make more of this, Gary.
Yeah, this is it's definitely like bready and grainy.
Oh yeah, everything you would expect.
Oh, and by the way,
it's
Gary,
like a Vienna lager, yeah, right?
Gary's invited to episode 200
for sure.
Gary, for sure, you're coming
if you
down.
Can bring some of this.
Oh, they always good. Have good stuff brewing there, man. So he brought down a couple of other ones. Oh. They did a nice wet hopped IPA, I'm pretty sure. Or it might have been a pale ale, pardon me. But it was really good. It wasn't grassy. It really? Was smooth, a little juicy, nothing biting you. They've got some good beers coming out of there. Even if you don't believe me, I can point you in directions of someone loves it.
Inside this is, jokes. This is absolutely delicious. And at 8%, that's
you'd
outrageous.
Never know.
You wouldn't. I'd love to have some cans of this in my fridge.
Oh, yeah. Like, this is one of those ones that if it was in a six-pack, that six-pack would be gone in a night, and you would be not easily. Getting up off the couch.
Oh, dude, definitely. So I just want to say, too, that it's called the Yeti. It's just Yeti Iced Maibock.
Wow. Delicious. Yeah. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
Usually with an ice bock or something like that, where you're, you know, concentrating the beer a bit by removing some of the ice from it, you know, freezing it down a bit and distilling it slightly. Typically, that concentrates the flavors.
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't taste stronger than a normal kind of lager.
And it's not overly sweet either, some of them tend to.
So it hasn't really concentrated. I mean, it's fantastic.
It's very well done. Unfortunately, I can't find any information about it. I text Gary too much, I guess. and social media is a little hard to find. But I believe this was a collab. I could be wrong, but they do a lot of collabs up there.
Is that right?
There's only a few breweries up there. So,
well, me and Gary chat a lot, and it sounds like there may be a collab coming with a Langley brewery here that may be a farm.
Hint.
Somewhere in the country?
Somewhere where they have bees and silos and a movie set.
Well, next time you're talking to Gary, why don't you ask him about collaborating with podcast or something?
Okay, well, then we all got to get up there. That's the one thing.
Oh, no. My brother just moved up there in the summertime. I won't have anywhere to stay.
Does he have a garage that fit four drunks?
He has a full basement suite that
perfect.
Is unoccupied.
Well, I'll just stay with my in-laws. And
I'll sleep with whatever one of you guys lets me. No homo. Edit that out.
Wow. Oh, this is fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
I can't say anything more positive about this beer. This is absolutely delicious.
No, like I said, it's like really clean, crisp drinking to
absolutely.
Me. At 8%, you wouldn't expect it to be 8%.
Never.
It's got a...
Never.
Well, like, even like you always say, Warren, like lagers, like you can tell how they're brewed. Like this just shows some mad game.
This demonstrates to me that the person who made this beer...
More people.
Is rather knowledgeable and knows what the hell they're doing, unless they completely fluked out.
It's not my style for like an iced bock or anything. I like them to have a little more sweetness, but it's really well made. It's really easy to drink for 8%.
Yeah.
Look at the lacing.
And this is something I would never pick up. But trying it now, it's like, I'd have this on a flight or I'd have a pint.
Well, I would try it for sure because I love trying ones that are 8%.
Yeah. True.
If I had this in my sample flight, I'd order a pint of it.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't care what else I got on that flight.
Right.
This is the one I'm going back to.
Yeah.
And it's, like you said, it's not my style of beer, but it is so well executed. It's crisp. It's clean. It's checking all the boxes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like,
and it's a giant ass fucking can too. So
yeah.
We can talk about it
for
a while.
Those growlers, what's that? A 32 ounce can? I mean,
32 flow ounces.
They just look and feel so right in your hand.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So 946 milliliters.
Yeah.
That's keep a proper chill. Size can.
It's one of those little 12-ounce baby cans.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. America, eat your heart out.
Yeah, I'm a fan of the growler format.
Oh, yeah. This and the Crowler's one of the things, too, when Barn Owl was going at the beginning of the pandemic, right?
Yeah.
They didn't have a canning line. So right. They came down here and spoke to the guys, I think, at Mile 37 canning. And they had these systems, the instant Crowler's canning. And they picked one up, and it was a game changer for them. It got them keeping busy, getting their beer out when you couldn't have people in the tasting room. Well, there was a good
3 months where tasting rooms were closed.
Exactly.
You couldn't have anybody coming in, and you could only do off sales, right?
So, my point.
Well, yeah. And almost every canning line is booked 6 to 8 weeks in advance.
Well, that's true, too.
Yeah. All of a sudden, everybody had to pivot, and it's just like, oh, yeah, we can get your tanks empty in 2 months.
Yeah, we'll be there in 2 months. You're like, uh-oh.
Well, they were. What else can everybody I do? The mobile systems were just going up, and they'd be like, we're doing a circuit. We're coming up to Kelowna area, and we're going to ding, 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 ding you. You have Tuesday and maybe Thursday, and then we're gone for 2-3 weeks.
Yeah, it's pretty tough schedule to work with. So having a Crowler system kind of makes things a little easier.
That aluminum shortage as well, during it. Like, it was just a shit shoot back then. Fuck.
Yeah, it's been an interesting 20 months.
And
to say the least.
I mean, at least we have tasting rooms open now, but supply chains are still fucked. All the supply chains continue to be fucked.
That's a mess.
The next year is going to be absurd for how supply chains are going.
So. It could be longer. Who knows?
Yeah.
I mean,
decades.
Well, who knows? Who wants to be a truck driver? Not me.
Yeah.
I don't even like driving.
The robots will take over soon.
Well, yeah, I guess that's what will save us. That'll save the supply chain.
I don't know.
Elon Musk will get his trucks on the road.
Yeah. Elon Musk just sold a huge amount of his shares in Tesla and like lost billions of dollars. I don't know.
He doesn't give a fuck. He's the richest man in the world.
I don't think he is anymore, probably after the last couple days.
He is. Fuck Bezos. Fucking
bald prick. Well, he was being encouraged to sell some stocks, right?
Yeah. Elon, Jeff, if you're listening to this, fuck you.
Unless they want to do a collaboration and make a beer in space.
Fuck billionaires in general.
Give us a call. We're ready to go.
It's a space-aged lager. That would be actually excellent. Fuck. Oh, man. All right, well, why don't we get into the next beer?
Oh, shit.
There we go.
But you haven't finished this crawler yet.
Thank you to our sponsor, Ross Vanderhoek, with Royal LePage Wollstonecraft Real Estate. Check out www.rossvanderhoek.com for all your residential, commercial, new development, and investment property needs.
All right, for the next two beer, we've got beers from Souk Brewing Company.
Ew.
It is the 2019 and the 2020 vintage of their bourbon barrel-aged barley wine.
Hello.
Which is 11.5% alcohol. The 2019 version won a BC Beer Awards, it looks like. Or maybe the year before won a BC Beer Awards. Yeah, that's it. So the 2018 version won an award.
So they're chasing tails still, trying to get that gold back.
But this is the most strange and wonderful barley wine I've ever met.
What?
Ooh. It's not English. It's not American.
Huh?
It's something else.
That's really
interesting.
Would you call it a hybrid or would you call it a bastard?
We're going to let Mike fight with the wax.
Yeah.
Beat that shit up, bro.
You got a nice gold wax seal on
the beautiful. I was going to give you a tip on those waxy things.
I was going to say, honestly, the gold wax is actually done proper as shit because you see a lot that are like too drippy thick and hang down, but that's perfectly dipped. Yeah, it was easy to open. This is
the 2019 version.
So, we're starting with 2019 and then you have 2020.
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you got one of these waxed ones, one of the easiest ways to get the cap off with a minimal effort is to use one of those tools that the waiters have.
Oh, yeah, the wine crank.
Yeah.
Because they've got the knife on them.
Yeah, well, not just that, but it's got the opener part is like, it's got like those two prongs almost on the side, and they cut right through the wax and then lift the cap right off. And so every single time, even if people have put the wax on too thick, those things will get them right off.
Yeah. When I worked at the keg, the wine crank was indispensable.
Yes.
And
very important tool.
Yeah. And I still miss mine very much.
I got a stainless one that I bought that's just fantastic. I love it.
All right.
It's just solid.
Yeah, wine cranks. Fuck it. Back to souk beer.
It smells like a barley wine to me. I'm getting the...
It smells actually a little different than 2020. Yeah. I think the aging is changing it a bit because you'll see that 2020 is much different.
I'm getting that malty, dry fruit.
I was going to say...
But the color.
It's got that golden American barley wine color.
Yeah, it's definitely the lighter hue color, of
it
yeah.
definitely
but
is
But it
golden.
Does not have that bitterness or anything in the aroma. Like, it doesn't smell harsh.
It doesn't smell like a quadruple IPA that's been aged.
You're not
aged.
Getting any of those hop aromas, like the spiciness or anything.
As we all sip at the same time. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Malty, rich,
sweet, it's sweet, rich. Sweet, it's a little sweet, bit like fruity. Like it's not like prunes and raisins and stuff. It's almost like stone fruit.
Well, I get a bit of that golden raisin.
Yeah, but not, I not get the that. Same as most barley wine, English barley too wines.
Yeah.
Go home, Warren.
Too sweet for me.
I think Warren and I are on the same page with the sweetness, but it's not like I've had barley wines that are like cloyingly sweet, and it's not that.
It's not quite that bad, no.
See, I enjoy the sweetness, personally. Yeah.
Yeah. What I kind of, palate, at least, right? I've never tried this version. This is my first time cracking one of these open. But the 2020, when I was drinking it at the brewery a couple months back, kind of reminded me of like a New England-style barley wine. Like,
really?
It's not English. It's not American. It's not like, you know, it's not that super dark, like dark fruit, raisins and all that.
Yeah, it's molasses
not,
and raisins.
It's not,
and...
yeah.
You know... 10% or 11% IPA, it's almost like that fruitiness you get from those like New England IPAs in barley wine form.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, you know what's cool about this too is it says it's actually just brewed using barley grown and malted on Vancouver Island. Oh, so it's all local. Yeah. That's pretty fucking sweet.
Now, I knew there was a local guy over there. I thought he was selling most of his stuff to Longwood, but...
could be that, yeah.
Very cool.
And I mean, it is a barley wine, but it also it reminds me a little bit of some of the wheat wines I've had.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's not a wheat beer, but it reminds me a little bit of the wheat wines,
and
too.
On the second sip, now that my palate's kind of accustomed to it, it's not as sweet.
Correct.
It's a lot smoother. I'm enjoying it a little more.
It is a little on the warm side, though.
Yeah.
I can definitely another tell there's
year,
alcohol in it.
There's another year or two in the cellar, and it would be perfect.
But yeah.
Yeah, Mike, thanks for ruining
but
that.
Like this is the 2019, right?
Yeah, 2019. Yeah.
Yeah. And it also, they were 2018 award winners for a strong ale. They placed third in the BC Beer Awards.
Yeah.
And that would have been probably their first year out of the gate, I think.
Could be, yeah.
Possibly.
I think that's when they were brand new. So now they're trying to capture that again.
But, I mean, even, like, saying it's sweet is nitpicky, really.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this is fantastic.
Well, you
it's
guys,
well made. There's
you guys don't like the sweetness. Me and Mike love the sweetness.
A little on the warm side, too. But.
I don't mind that, though. I like a little bit of that. Let you know you're alive, Warren.
when you're drinking a...
I mean, it is getting warm in here, but...
when you're drinking an 11.8 or 12%, let's be honest, beer...
Yeah, 11.5, yeah.
It's, like, you kind of expect it to taste like a 11.5
Well, you would expect it, and so when you don't get it, it's, like, surprising. You're like, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
But and I don't think it's all that... It's not that
it's
much
not,
heat, really.
No,
like
it's not.
If I'd not known it was 11.5, I would have guessed, you know, 9, 10.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, most.
But
I was going to say 8 to 9, but yeah.
A little more age on it, and it would probably hide it even better because it would just smooth out that much more. But.
This is interesting. You're absolutely right. I'd almost call this an American barley wine,
but it's not
bitter. Not hoppy enough. Yeah.
It's strange. That's why I joke because it's kind of like the New England IPA of the barley wines because. There's definitely a lot of hops in there, but it's almost like they're Whirlpool hops, right? Like you're getting that fruitiness. You're not getting bitterness at all.
Some bitterness, but
yeah, you know what I mean?
It's not like the harsh bitterness, though. It's just enough.
Yeah.
The right
it's balance. Balanced bitterness.
It's balanced.
Yeah, they're definitely not trying to conform to any particular style.
No.
Yeah, well, that's the souk way.
It's true.
And the oxidation, too. Like there's... None.
No, yeah. Like, this would be wonderful sitting in the souk potholes. Don't get yourself in trouble.
Well, but Cam was saying, oh, it's sweet, this and that, and he's literally the first one done with fucking glass.
Yeah.
Must be kind of good.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I did short pour mine a little bit too, but...
Yeah, better not be...
It's only 11.5% driver.
When it's got wax all over the cap.
Yeah, no, like...
Well, there's a lot of people that say the wax really doesn't stop a lot of oxygen. It's more just a good safety so your cap doesn't pop off or get knocked off.
It looks fucking cool, but too.
I personally, I do still like the wax.
I love the wax. It.
Well, Warren,
just get a good bottle opener for crying out loud.
Yeah. Dude, as
stop using your ring as a bottle opener and get a New York Jets bottle opener.
As a beer manufacturer, why do you want to slow down your customers trying to open that bottle?
Because it's cool.
Yeah.
It's not a good answer.
It is a good answer because I buy them all the time and I literally own good bottle openers where it can be thick as fuck and I'll just eyeball it and punch the top off.
Well, I got to admit that since I figured out how to get those open with minimal effort, I don't hate the wax bottles as much as I used to.
I see wax, I buy wax. Like,
oh, not me.
We know you do because it's that heavy percent work. Hitters.
It's telling me this beer needs you.
Yeah.
Drink me, Mike. Wow. Drink me.
Save me from this bottle.
I'm gonna dip my next bottle of Saison in some wax just for Mike.
Melt a couple crayons for him.
A little glue stick. Bada boom.
Hey,
glue stick?
glue stick and crayons, my friend. That's basically what I do.
I've done it before, back in the day. I wax dipped a bunch of bottles for my cellar once. It was just a fun art project, basically.
I was going to say, you got way too much time on your hand.
Yeah, like, you get those
I'm just trying to get mine to blow up.
You get those glue gun sticks and a couple crayons?
Yeah. I have some. I chew them both.
Yeah.
Of course you do.
With your paste, right?
Paint.
Yeah, like Ralph Wiggum. My crayon tastes like crayons.
This
tastes like burning.
We're going to light something on fire by the end of this podcast.
Good thing about your place this time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this table we're on.
So what's this
one? It's pure wood.
Yeah, 2019 we just had, right?
Now it's 2020. Now you're
in 2020. Okay. So we'll see.
MAGA what the, 2020.
Vertical progression is like.
Mike's got his red Donald Trump shirt on.
I'm going to jump across the table and punch you.
It's red.
The look I got. It is a Strange Fellow shirt. It's awesome.
It's got Krampus, which is way better than Trump.
No, but the color of this is quite nice. It's almost darker.
A little darker than the other.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah.
I got some wax in mine. But...
Another good reason not to wax.
Oh, it did actually break there a bit.
Yeah, I think this one might be a little cloudier, too.
It's cloudier. It's darker.
That's when I had it at the brewery, it was definitely like super, super hazy. So that's why I was really thinking like sort of the New England of the barley wines.
Yeah, I mean, this one's pretty hazy.
It's definitely like different style barley wine.
Mm-hmm. Warren Smile, I'm doing social media.
There you go.
It's so interesting that, you know, like I'm a big barley wine fan, but there's definitely usually two types.
Yeah, there's two camps of barley wine.
Oh. And I absolutely prefer the English to those two camps. This is not that camp either side.
This one smells different right off the bat.
It is slightly different. I was going to say
it's much more subdued. I'm almost getting more of a caramely kind of thing.
So, Mike, you were saying that you've had the 2020 and you really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, on tap in the tasting room. Yeah.
Oh. Oh yeah, I like this one better than the 2019. This is an improvement.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. It's not as sweet.
There we go. Yeah, this is the one I had.
Yeah.
It is definitely sweet, but it's sweet because of the fruitiness.
But it's not the sweetness.
Thinner
from
body, easier to drink. The heat's not as apparent.
No.
Everything all around, this is an improvement.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh. But again, like it's not sweet, but it's super like fruity. Like,
yeah, it's yeah. it but
it's,
it doesn't
well,
have
it's
that,
got that sweet side there.
Yeah, the sweetness from the last one was like sweet, sweet. This is just like balanced sweetness.
Yeah.
Like, you get the fruit,
that
you get
the
heat is barely there at all.
The heat's not like the last one either. Like, you had that more alcohol burning in your throat.
No, this one hides the alcohol way better.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like you don't really taste the booze that much.
As apparent.
I'd throw this at like a 7, 8%.
Not 11.5,
If I had to guess, I would say 8 or 9, just based on the heat.
Oh, God. This one's fucking fabulous, man.
Yeah. This is the one I had. It was like...
No, this is nice.
Yes, I might have bought four or five bottles,
excellent.
And they're all gone except for this one.
What? I was going to say,
this is going to be really good in a couple of years.
Yeah, what probably.
Mike actually bought the brewery,
but it's really good now.
No, they had tons. It had just come out fairly recently when I was there.
Oh, Mike, well, don't you remember our last joke? $800. Do it at Souk with this.
Yeah, no, it was not cheap, but it wasn't that much.
Yeah, you should have bought more.
So when are we doing the Pacific Beer Chat well. Travels the Island?
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, I mean,
I got a canoe.
We might be doing it sooner than later.
Yeah,
we should plan something where we get a Airbnb or some shit. And
well, I mean, I got a place on Shawnigan Lake that we can stay at. It's kind of out of the way, but
that's kind of out of the way. Is not the greatest for in person.
Yeah. No, I'd like to go up island and just do it. Hit everything between like say Parksville and like Black Creek. You know.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll have to plan that.
All right, Cam and my wife, if you're listening to this,
I'll rent an
we're
RV.
We're going out.
I don't care. Let's rent an RV.
Oh, jeez.
I own one. And by that, I mean my parents.
You got access to an RV?
Oh, yeah. And
sleeps four?
It sleeps eight.
Let's do it. Don?
It's fucking glamping, bro.
Let's plan a week in the spring.
Well, we're going to have to start in Souk because this is wonderful.
Yes.
Souk gorgeous. And beyond. That sounds like an Austin Powers
to
name.
To Souk and beyond.
Souk me?
Wow. But yeah, no, like
it's a good joke, man. That's an Austin Powers movie. Don't cancel me.
Like, Souk Brewing makes good beer, but when I tried this on my flight, I was like,
"This is amazing!
Holy shit!"
Yeah, this is
because this is not
another level.
Barley wine that I've ever known, and this is a barley wine I want to know.
This reminds me more of an American style barley wine, but it's not quite as hopped up.
Well, there's just no bitterness, really. Like,
there's not. No,
there's some balance bitter.
Yeah,
but it's most American barley wines until you've had it for like 10 years. It's just like punchy in the face. Like,
well, to me, an American barley wine is a triple IPA.
Yeah, right? But like not a New England style. Like that, we're talking an old
hot
bomb, right? West Coast. It's huge. It's bitter. It's like resiny.
Everything I love.
I don't like that in a barley wine, though. Like, I love that in an IPA. Call it an IPA, I'm in. But you call it a barley wine, I want.
What if I call it a triple IPA?
That's fine. Triple quad. But if you call it a barley wine,
it's a triple IPA.
Yeah.
But when you buy a style, you want a certain thing.
Come on.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't want bitterness when I have a barley wine. I want I want malt. I want sweetness. I want alcohol. Yeah. And this is weird for that, but it's still like you take a sip and I'm like, holy shit, this is interesting.
I just want you to say the last three things you said again, and then we'll just reconvert George Thorogood's song. I want bourbon. I want
one bourbon, one scotch,
and one
beer.
We got more bitterness, more sweetness, more malt.
You did it. You did it.
All right.
Okay, Cam, edit that out.
No,
no, keep that.
No, I mean, that song edit it properly.
Yeah. Oh, good, more work.
Yeah.
It's George Thorogood and the Destroyers.
Yeah,
that's right.
But I don't know. It just this was one of the most eye-opening beers I've had probably all year because you have a beer, you're expecting something, and it was just
it's different. It's
holy
delicious.
Shit, it's different, and it's. Holy shit, it's
good.
It's
crazy different from the year apart. Like,
I would really be interested. They definitely made some tweaks to the previous year.
I would like to see 2018's version because it won an award somehow.
Well,
so have they dialed down the sweetness? Have they got back to the original recipe?
Although, like the 2020 version came out this year, if I remember right.
In 2021 it came
out? Yeah, I think that's what happened because they had a ton of it. So I think it come out.
It was too late for the CBAs.
Well, and BC Beer Awards haven't run since the pandemic started.
Yeah.
COVID!
Yeah. So they haven't had a chance to try to win an award
with this.
I think if they had put this into some kind of competition.
Oh, and 2020 would win.
If you put that into the right
it would do
category,
well.
It would do really fucking well.
Absolutely. A strong ale.
See, now the problem with
strong you can't put it in a barley wine category because it would not win for English or American.
Right.
Strong ale category.
Yeah.
Now, the problem with the Canadian Brewing Awards is you have to put your entries in back in like friggin'
months.
March or something stupid when they don't announce the winners until the fall, September or something, right? So
it's just like an election, too. There's so many Quebec and Ontario breweries that just always win.
Yes.
Because there's like more of them.
Exactly.
BC always does well because BC's killing it.
Yeah.
Well, but you're absolutely right.
So
it's a tough
White
competition.
White Tooth fucking
killed
it. Well,
part of the thing,
year,
too, is that, you know, when it comes down to it, if you look at the distribution in most years, a lot of the beer, a lot of the breweries that are winning the most awards are in BC, Ontario, or Quebec.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's,
but it, part of it is probably because that's where the most breweries are.
And also, snow. No one wants to go out in the snow. I'm in Manitoba. We don't get snow. Oh, let's go out to the brewery. I'm going to sit on the patio.
Have you ever been to Quebec or Ontario in the winter?
Yeah. Cool. They have patio fire.
It's more so the
population density,
zoning laws,
and that too.
Yeah,
like Manitoba, there's like, some really good beers coming out of Winnipeg and the area, but the rules in Manitoba have been so tight.
Yeah,
there still isn't a lot of breweries in the province outside of the Winnipeg area.
A lot of the prairie provinces, their laws are way the fuck behind.
And it was just this year that I forget what brewery it was. Didn't an Alberta brewery win Brewery of the Year in the Canadian Brewing Awards? I think it was Alberta or Saskatchewan. I think it was Alberta, yeah.
No, it was somewhere in Alberta. It was outside of Calgary.
Yeah, definitely in the prairies.
Yeah.
It might have been Saskatchewan. You might be right, because I remember thinking, oh, really? Are they killing it using that water? They must really have things dialed in or have a really good
There's a lot of salt. Yeah,
really good chemistry.
Right?
You'd need it out there.
Yeah, it was either Alberta or Saskatchewan. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure it was Alberta. I'm just trying to look it up right now.
Yeah.
But here you go.
It's the Establishment Brewing Company in Alberta.
Alberta.
Huh? Won. Yeah, but where in
Which
Alberta?
Is odd. Because
Calgary.
Okay, they're in Calgary.
Because the water in Alberta is typically very high in minerals.
Very hard.
Yeah. Wow. Good for them. I mean, that means, can you imagine if they had good water like a brewery in BC?
Well, but I mean, you've got to remember that there's
as long as your things like works.
Water filters, right?
Reverse osmosis filters are not cheap.
No, but you can filter your water. You can build your water up.
Well, I mean, we can talk shit about water, but you go to Ireland and you get Guinness at...
Yeah, but that beer has been specifically formulated to work with that water.
You need that Irish mud water.
If you go there, though, you could, like, literally, the water is, that's the best example ever, because you got the highlands, you got the lowlands, you got the islas. Like, the water changes everywhere you go.
Oh, yeah.
And they use it in the best ways.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to even touch base, like, fucking our boy Goldman from Taillight.
Yeah.
He is a fucking chemistry master when it comes to the water game.
Yeah.
So right? Water so you can do anything. Like even if it's like Edmonton, like you got somebody that knows that.
Yeah.
You're brewing good beer.
Yeah, you have a good filtration system. You know your chemistry.
Yeah.
You add your, you know, sulfates and
whatevs.
Yeah.
You need
sulfates, phosphates, everything you need. And
I've messed around with water formulation, minerals, and things like that for having beer brewed in Saskatchewan. So I have a little bit of experience messing around with that and trying to figure it out, mathematically or whatever.
Yeah.
And I didn't get an opportunity to try the beer that was brewed in Saskatchewan to compare it with the brew that was brewed in BC, but that would have been super interesting to me.
Yeah, and I mean, depending on the style you're brewing too, like that hard water
can contribute
in great ways rather than subtract,
stouts and things like that, right?
So it's, you got to know your styles and your water chemistry and like luckily where I'm home brewing out of like
Chilliwack.
Yeah, in Chilliwack, like, it's some of the best.
Chilliwack's got some of the best water in the world.
Some of the best tap water in the world.
What?
Like I literally,
are there mountains running fucking glacier water into the streams? Amazingly,
now they just recently screwed that up, and they've been treating the water recently.
They have been treating the water.
Nestle out of fucking BC.
But at the same time, like
still pretty damn good.
For a while, I was like, oh. Add a little bit of calcium chloride to brighten up the hops or calcium sulfate.
A little gypsum or whatever.
Yeah. But then I got to a point where it was just like, I'm just going to run my tap water.
See, now that's opposite for me. When I started home brewing, I just ran straight tap water. And it wasn't until several years in that I even considered adding minerals and started to looking at salts and water composition.
Yeah,
but that's the nice thing about living here in BC is our tap water is so goddamn good.
Oh, yeah.
You can make a beer with it straight out of the tap without having to screw around. As long as you knock out the chlorine or the chloramines or whatever, then you're good to go.
Well, the good thing about living in Pitt Meadows is, too, I got blueberries and cranberries I can put in my water.
True enough. True enough.
Yeah, boil the water hard enough, all the chlorine will go away, won't it?
Yeah, you know, you can boil it for a bit, and that'll do it. You can just leave the lid off overnight and like fill your pot the night before and just let it evaporate overnight.
I don't have enough room for the sparge water as well.
You could always use the little drops that they use for fish tanks.
Yep. You can use that, huh?
I've used it before. Oh, yeah. It only takes like 8 drops for 5 gallons or something. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, my fish Blucifer might lose out on a bit of training stuff, yeah. Man.
You could also use.
Can we retouch on that for a second? Blucifer?
I love the fish, name Lucifer. His and name. My fish is blue, so he is Blucifer.
Yeah. That is epic.
And our snail is Turbo.
Oh, I like that because the movie. The fucking movie. I get you. I got kids.
Yeah. I don't, but I got it.
Oh, dude.
So, what he
funny.
Does is he sits in front of the tank and he watches that escargot.
But a bunch.
All right. So, we have drank a lot of barley wine and high percentage beers. So, welcome to Pacific Beer Chat. I'm Jordan. And, Mike, what was your favorite beer of the night?
Let's see here. Pacific Sando Chat.
Tune in later.
Yeah.
What sandwich would you pair this beer with?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah.
Maybe a berry chicken.
Maybe a Cuban sandwich. No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to have to go with the 2020 barley wine from Souk Brewing Company. Yeah, that is nice. Number one.
I have a feeling that we're all going to say that.
No.
No.
Shut up, Warren. Not I wasn't me. Talking to you.
Yeah, not me.
So, Cam.
Oh. Yeah. So, Warren had to leave. Cam, what's your choice?
I'm going to be with Warren. That Maybach.
Right?
Nice.
That's what I'm talking about.
Nice. I mean, when I hear Maybach, I don't get excited.
No. Why would you?
But holy fuck.
That was an iced Maybach, buddy.
That was unbelievably well executed.
It was like, I love this 2020 barley wine from Souk.
It's good.
It's great. But that Maybach still blew my socks off.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's the one I'm going with.
Boom.
I'm with him 100%. The Maybach. Okay, Warren, wait your turn. Fuck you.
What are you going to What's your favorite, Warren?
That Maybach is so goddamn well executed. It is absolutely delicious. As good as that 2020 barley wine is, I'm sorry, the Barnell has to win out.
Nice. So I'm going to fight you all. And I honestly like the 2020. The 2019 was a little sweet.
Yeah,
The Maybach was dope, but that Lambic was fucking tight, man.
That was
I really enjoyed it. You know me and sours and shit.
Jordan's wrong too. Yeah.
You heard it here first. No, I would honestly like put hand in hand. Like the Lambic was really good.
Well, the sour was super complex.
And that's why I liked it. And it was aged over a year or two, which probably added something to it. But the Maybach too was good. But 2020 was good. I'd probably just say In the Dark is the 2019 because it was too sweet for my ass. But not a bad beer tonight.
Wow.
There Cheers you go. To that.
So what it comes down to is personal preference. They all killed it.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, definitely. Absolutely.
Killed it. Awesome. Thanks, Souk. Thanks, Barnell. And thanks, Twin City.
Yeah. Thanks for tuning in.
All great breweries are doing great things.
We'll be back. Social media, Jordan Malman.
Peace.
Edit that out.
Thanks for tuning in to Pacific Beer Chat. We can be found on all podcast apps as well as at pacificbeerchat.com. If you find a podcast app we are missing on, let us know and we'll endeavor to fix that. Leave us a review on iTunes as it helps expose more people to the show. You can email us at feedback@pacificbeerchat.com. We can be found on all major social media apps at Pacific Beer Chat. Logo design was by Tim, the craft beer tourist. Audio editing done by Cam, known as Cam on Tap on Twitter. To play us out, here is a clip of the song Lothian by the band Conundrum, performed by Kevin Ems. Find them at conundrum-music.bandcamp.com. The song that plays us out is part of our intro.
I had a big breakfast and I got Quiznos on the way here. So
wow, I haven't had Quiznos in a hot minute. What'd you get?
A classic sandwich.
Classic Italian.
I was getting the bourbon chicken.
I like that the carbonara one, the chicken carbonara. Ooh, the carbonara. It's got like mushrooms and bacon and chicken.
I've actually finally learned. I just ask for all the veggies because that's why I go to Subway more often. Because I like all the vegetables. Because
you like to eat fresh?
No. I just, like, Quiznos for the most part is better, but they don't give me enough vegetables. It's like, no, give me all of your vegetables.
It depends what location you go to.
Yeah.
Well, they're all sandwiches franchise. Actually say
depends on who your artist is. Right?
Well, yeah, that sandwich motherfucking artist. Well, that's no, the one downtown by me is the worst. I had, like, the chicken must have been 8 days old. I was like, oh, okay, well, this is not good. Yeah. Like, I'm going to go get cancer instead.
Yeah. But, like, the problem with Subway, is, like, the bread's not quite as good, everything, but they give you all the veggies.
Did you
Quiznos, it's like the sandwich is chicken and lettuce, and it tells you exactly what it's supposed to
have. Did you guys notice Subway's, like, taking away some of their old breads? It's, like, just, like, Italian...
You got the urban cheese, you've got whole grain.
I get the flatbread.
No. There's only
the Subway that was by my work closed. So,
Yeah, must have been a good location.
No more Subway salads.
All right, welcome to Jordan's podcast. I'm Cam.
I'm Jordan.
I'm Mike.
And I'm lots of stupid talk about sandwiches.
Oh, God. We're the best podcast in the world.
All right.
Welcome to Sandwich Talk.
I'm your host, Sandwich Jordan.
It's Sando Talk.
But we all have to have a radio voice.
Welcome to Rando Sando.
It's Sando Talk here tonight.
We all have to do our NPR voices now.
So, Cam, how was your sandwich yesterday?
Yeah. Well, I found it a little dry as they were light on the mayonnaise.
That is always depressing when they do not put enough mayonnaise on a sandwich.
I don't really like my sandwich to have mayonnaise, but it should have all the veggies.
And pickles.
And toasted bread.
I believe a pickle is a vegetable at one point. It was a cucumber, I believe.
True.
Oh, God, if that was a podcast.
Save it for the end.
Edit that in, Cam.
We're putting it on the end.
Yeah.
Dude, all right. The other edits the other day were good, man. That one, like, literally, you saved me. Like, where's your head? Shit, it was like, oh, God. Fucking Afrojack.
Yeah, anytime you sing, I try to find something to put in the background.
I'm really bad.
Wow.
All right, let's get this going.